Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good evening, ladies and boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and Tommy's sitting over there. What's on the show this week, sir?
We have Cyberpunk 2077, and that's probably it. We've got some other news we're going to try to get to. There's some stuff from Gamescom. There's a few other things we should talk about. But there was 48 minutes of gameplay of Cyberpunk 2077 dropped today. And so, yeah, we're going to talk about that.
Okay, so I got to be honest. I had some stuff to do before the show. And I completely ignored all of it because I sat and I watched this thing. And so it completely wrecked my day.
I understand.
But I don't really care.
which is totally fair. So before we get into that, how are you doing, man?
I'm good. Good week. Lots of stuff going on. I haven't had time to play much of anything, but as we said, we have Cyberpunk, and we don't care.
Yeah, that's 100% true. I had a just crazy busy week, and this weekend was nuts, and technology failed on me over and over, and super frustrating. And I don't care, because we got Cyberpunk 2077, and so good in the world.
When you start talking about technology failing, that's something I wanted to talk to you about later, because you got the luck of the freaking leprechaun, and like,
man,
stuff usually works.
You're telling me. I usually have the magic touch. Like, I'm that person that, like, somebody's like, oh, this doesn't work, and I come and do the exact same thing that they were doing and it works for me. That happens all the time. Not on Saturday, but Saturday specifically. Everything failed. I like wasted a whole day. It was insanely frustrating.
It kind of makes me a little happy. I'm sorry, because most of the time I just want to choke you.
Yeah. That's fair. And you know my temperament. Everybody listens to this show. I think what you hear on this show is my temperament. This is who I am, like, all the time. I was just in a bad mood on Saturday. I don't get in bad moods very often, but I was in a bad mood. So
I've seen the bad mood, and that's not good.
It's like, it's very, very rare, but it does it does happen from time to time. But then we have Cyberpunk 2077, and all is good in the world.
Right. Like, it's almost like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's almost like we won the lottery.
Right.
For like a half a day, and like everything's great and green and beautiful, and we'll wake up tomorrow and go, oh crap, we still gotta wait 3 years.
Right. No joke. Which is brutal. So
yeah. So let's go.
Let's jump into it. And maybe we'll have some time for some other stuff at the end of the show. Before we do, lest I forget, because I will probably forget once we start talking about this, Patreon supporters, Cabbage Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, and Zeke. Of course, thank you guys. Go by GamingUncensored.com and click on that Become a Patron button if you want to support us on Patreon as well. And help us buy Cyberpunk 2077 in 3 years.
Two copies of yes. Cyberpunk. We need money because we're getting two.
We are getting two because we definitely need two. So, yeah, do that. GameAgainstCensor.com. Support us on Patreon. It'd be great. So, Cyberpunk 2077. So, Gamescom happened last week, and it was just starting off when we recorded the show last week. And so my thought was going into this week that we'd probably focus mostly on Gamescom stuff. And Cyberpunk 2077 was at Gamescom, and they had a like a booth that they did, apparently the kind of behind-closed-doors demo that they did at E3, which I'm pretty sure is what we're looking at. I don't think they have more of it that they're showing off. So it ended, Gamescom ended, and there was a little bit of news that kind of trickled out about Cyberpunk, and I was kind of watching to see if there's anything big. Like, they had screenshots, and you remember back in the day when screenshots were, like, a big deal? Like, you kind of ate up screenshots. I don't feel that way about screenshots anymore, and so it didn't really do anything for me. And then, lo and behold, today they just dropped 48 minutes of gameplay on us, and so that was post-Gamescom, whatever, I don't care, I'm happy about it. So, GameAgainstCensor.com, if you haven't seen this yet, there's a link to the YouTube video that you can go watch it. I have to say, I'm a little worried that this isn't going to stay on YouTube very long for reasons we'll get into momentarily, but as of the recording of this show, it's still there, so you'll be able to find it somewhere.
Okay, let's just start right there, because here's my immediate thought, okay? I like movies, you know I like movies, and you have recently become a movie guy.
Sure.
And the movie that I'm about to put it in the same league with is a classic. And this thing runs for probably a minute and a half. And my brain instantly said, Blade Runner.
Absolutely.
Like, it reeks. A Blade Runner.
100%.
Right. Like, you walk into that apartment and then into the bathroom, and like, I wasn't even shocked, because that is stone cold Blade Runner to have, like, naked people just laying there. It's very, very clear. Like, you can talk about, we've talked about it with The Witcher 3. We've talked about it with all these other games that do it. But the Witcher 3 uses it to more of an extent than anything else. This is going to be a whole other level.
Yeah.
Okay, this is going to be like, you need to lock your door, make sure your kid's at the babysitter, and make sure that your wife is either cool or she's out shopping somewhere, because it's going to be one of those things. And Chad, I need you to listen to me. Your kids don't need to see any of this. I don't care how cool you think you are, okay? None of this. And I say all of that to say that part of it, and I'll explain this in a second, because some people are going to take this the wrong way. I love that part of it is in there.
Yeah, I agree with you there. So let me kind of set up what happens again. Everybody listening to this has seen it, so I won't belabor this point. But just in case you're not sold on this yet and haven't watched the video or don't have the time to spend watching 48 minutes, we'll give you a quick synopsis. So the very beginning, it kind of shows you the character creation and talks through that. You could be a male or a female character, and it kind of goes through some of those details and about stats, and it's all pretty basic. It talks about how it's not a set class system, your choices in the game and what you decide to use as far as the kind of cybernetic stuff will determine what quote-unquote class you belong to. So you don't pick a class, blah, blah, blah. All that stuff, and then it jumps into this first kind of little side mission, which they make a female V, and so female V, the player character, and then her buddy go into this apartment that is the scavengers who, like, kidnap people and take out their cybernetics. And so you kind of fight through this place and find this woman that you're looking for in a bathtub full of ice, like, cut up and completely naked with another woman in the bathtub alongside her. And you have to, like, help her get rescued. And so she has this chip in her brain that's, like, blocking her location. And so, like, you take that out, and then the medical team, I forget what they're called, show up to retrieve her and take her back and whatever. And so when you get in there, she's all the way naked. I mean, there's no other way to put it. Like, it's not subtle. They don't try to hide anything. There's some real breast physics going on, you know? Like, it's... Yeah, I played The Witcher. The Witcher doesn't mind nudity at all. It's not like it's that surprising, except it's on YouTube, and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I thought YouTube, like, had rules about this stuff, right?
And there was no age gate, which kind of scares me a little bit. Okay, here's the thing.
Are there age gates on YouTube? I don't know that I've ever seen an age gate on YouTube.
I think I've seen a couple.
Yeah,
but,
interesting. Like, I hadn't thought about that, so I'm sorry.
But what I was gonna say was, is that we are fairly open minded people, and I'm glad that this is in here to add to the world, because it does.
Yes.
Like I said, it's very Blade Runner-ish. What I hope is that they don't overdo it.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be with something like that, you have to be selective how you use it, okay? Because, and maybe part of it is the way that we grew up, but I don't want to play a game where there's just naked people everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay, like, I don't want to do that. If you can give me a scenario that makes sense, or a side quest where you meet somebody at a hotel and there's a romantic something in there, I'm cool with it. But I don't want to play the game for 50 hours and that be a reoccurring thing every hour.
Yeah.
That's my thing. Am I overstating that at all?
No, I don't think so at all. I agree, and I'll add to that a little bit with saying one of the things that CD Projekt Red does. Now, with The Witcher, they go a little bit over the top with, like, just nakedness for nakedness sake. Like, there's just naked women randomly at lots of points in the game. That seems superfluous for what's going on. But there's also other times that it does make a lot of sense, and like, it adds to that world. And so this scene, I agree with you. I think it adds to the world. It says something about what's going on in you know, this kind of, these scavengers. They're ruthless. It shows that there's, like, this lack of a sense of shame in it. You know, like, they don't care that they just left this woman naked in a bathtub or whatever. Like, it kind of shows the inhumane nature of what they're doing. And it would feel contrived if, like, she had on a bikini or something, you know? Like,
right.
It would feel weird if she wasn't naked in that situation, if this is the situation that they're trying to convey. And so one of the things I talked about with The Witcher on the last roundtable, I think, was how, like, a lot of time in The Witcher 2, or The Witcher as well, you don't want to see the nakedness. Like, it's not, like, attractive or, like, sexual nakedness. And this is an example where it's, like, that's not a sexy thing. Like, this chick is in a bathtub and has been cut up and is pretty rough, you know? Like, she's been through some stuff. She's a fine-looking character in the video game.
Right.
But, like, it's not like, ooh, hot naked lady, you know?
No.
Like, it's like, oh, this is... you know,
I mean, it's like, look, it gave me the response that I think that they were going for, which was, okay, something really, really bad just happened here.
Yes,
and that's cool. I dig that a lot, and like I said, as long as they don't overdo that, I'm all good.
Yeah. It didn't take long before we got to more nakedness, because in the very next like little scene when she wakes up in the her apartment, there's like a naked dude, you know, like you're like, come on. But that's all the nakedness in the 48 minutes is those two. At least that I noticed. There may have been somebody in the background somewhere or whatever, but it's a game that's not going to shy away from either nakedness or violence, and this is such an American thing that we get so caught up on the nudity factor, but the violence is like, oh, whatever. And we've talked about this a lot on the show, that kind of the European persuasion is the other way around. Like, they don't really mind the nudity side of it, but they're a lot more sensitive towards the violence. This game is going to have plenty of both, you know, like it's going to be a full out, made for a mature audience game. And there's no doubt about it. And this trailer reinforced that through and through with the cursing. They use the C word in there. There's not very many words that make me cringe. That word makes me cringe. You know, that and like racial epithets make me cringe. And that one was, I heard it, I was like, you know, like that's right. Rough. I could take some F-bombs, but that word just gets under my skin.
It's yeah, like, and that's because, like, and Chad even mentioned that's a word that you don't use in his house because you got a wife and girls.
Yeah.
And if that is a reoccurring thing, just to be there, I'm gonna have a problem with that.
Sure.
That's something that again, all of this stuff is good for artistic sake, but you're gonna have to be real careful how you use it.
The game's going to constantly straddle the shock value line. Like, it's going to be right up against there as much as it can. Now, again, with The Witcher, they've done a pretty good job of straddling that line without going too far over it, in my opinion. This is going to push it in different ways. Like, it just is. It's just a different feel. It's a different vibe. If you would have showed me this game and I didn't know it was CD Projekt Red, I wouldn't guess it was. It doesn't look anything like The Witcher. And so, other than the kind of tone of the mature content tone of it, it's about as different from The Witcher in every other way possible. So yeah, so we talked about the nakedness.
so couple of things. It looks great, but it's also very, very clear that it is very, very early.
Yes.
It's very slow. The frame rate is not there.
Yeah, the character models look really good, but they also look unfinished. The animations are fine, but it looks early. And they make that point over and over, the kind of narrator. So the way the video is set up is it's like the kind of like the what we saw for Red Dead a couple weeks ago, that it's this narration of kind of telling you some of the stuff about
but
the game.
But this guy was better.
This guy was better, and it was 48 minutes. It wasn't 6 minutes. And so, and it was just straight gameplay. Like, it wasn't like jumping around the game. It was, we're going to show off something near the beginning of the game. That I don't think they probably even have that fully fleshed out yet, but something near the beginning of the game and kind of walk through some stuff. And it was just a linear playthrough for 48 minutes. It wasn't, you know, and now we'll show you a different part. Here's later game. Here's this aspect. It was just all one big playthrough, which was cool. I really enjoyed the presentation of it, both that aspect of it and the guy kind of talking through it over the top of saying, okay, watch this part because this is going to happen and that relates to this or whatever. I thought was cool.
Yeah, I like it a lot, and all of that is great, and I'm glad we talked about all of that, but you know what's going to make or break this game? It's going to be about the gameplay. And this is where I have questions. So can we go to the gameplay?
Yes, let's do. I'm excited to talk about this point. I think that's a fair point. Gameplay and story, right? Obviously, right. A CD Projekt Red game is going to be built heavily on the story. I think we both agree that the story is going to be solid. Like, I think it's going to be enough that we don't see that as an issue. Let's talk about gameplay.
Okay, So I told you I had some issues with the trailer, and that I was going to be a little bit of a curmudgeon, and it, for me, it stems from the gameplay, and I think the reason they did what they did was that it was a trailer and they didn't want it to be slow, But for me, what's going to make this game is a Deus Ex approach to gameplay, meaning that if you want to go into it and go guns blazing, which is what they did for the sake of presentation, you can do that. I'm going to last about 10 minutes going that way. So I'm hopeful that that there are ways around most of that. There's going to be sections of the game where it's going to be necessary, but I hope there are other ways to do these scenarios other than, hey, go in and clean this building out and find a guy. Because it's very, as they're going through it, it's very much like Fear was. Like, it has a lot of fear in it. It has the bullet time aspect. It has some other things going that Fear did. And I liked Fear, but I don't really like, that's not really the way I want to play Cyberpunk.
Sure.
And I know that you dug it because as far as the first-person shooter aspect goes, even now it looks fairly solid.
Yeah. I just
know I'm not going to play it that way.
That's fair, and I definitely hear that. One of my biggest concerns about the game coming out of E3 when we saw the trailer and knew, you know, details at that point that it was going to be first-person based and shooter combat heavy as far as the combat was going to go. It was going to be heavy on the shooter side of things. I was worried a lot about that wouldn't be executed well. Watching this gameplay changed my mind, at least in how it looks. Now, once you get a controller in your hand, we'll figure out how well it actually plays. But it looks fun to play, and it looks like a legit shooter. Like, it looks like they've really worked on making it good quality kind of shooter mechanics. And so it is fast, which I wasn't expecting, at least how they played it, how they showed off. The combat is pretty chaotic and quick. And one of the things that we heard from E3 from some of the people who saw the closed door demo was that the kind of environments were dense. And that definitely shows in this gameplay that, like, the first scene they're going through this apartment and it's smallish rooms and going around corners and all that. And then the kind of last big battle scene that they have in is in this warehouse, and even there's a lot of like going through little corridors and around corners and stuff, and it's kind of tight shooter mechanic things that you pop around a corner and there's a dude there and it's, oh crap, you know, twitchy kind of reflex and shoot and kill and kind of thing. And I dig that. I think it looks like a lot of fun to play. It feels like it's going to flow well. Whether or not it really does, again, it takes having the controller in your hand to see. I hear you in the kind of options of how you play it, and something that makes me worry about that from this gameplay was it kind of talked up. So there's that first scene in the apartment, and then, like, you go back to her apartment and she gets this message to come meet this dude or whatever, and like ultimately they're like doing this mission. And the premise going into the mission is we can either go in guns blazing or we can go in and do this diplomatically. And so the narrator guy's like, we'll do it diplomatically. And so you kind of walk into this area where there's all these dudes that are part of this gang. I forgot what they're called, but like this gang that's obsessed with the cybernetics. And so they're like really cybernetic'd up. I don't know.
I was gonna say this is the 2077 version of being tatted up.
Yeah. There's one dude that just straight up doesn't have a face, like just like his face is gone. And he just has cybernetics where his face was, which, you know, cool, whatever. But anyway, you go in there and are like doing it the diplomatic way, and then it turns into a full out gunfight, you know, like even right. Going in there not guns blazing. You still kill all the dudes in there, so
which that was the issue that I had. Like, yeah,
I don't know if the whole game is going to be like that, where if you try to take the diplomatic approach, you still end up killing everybody. If that's the case, that would be lame. I wouldn't love that. But if you truly have the options to go in and kind of be, you know, diplomatic or to do stealthy kind of stuff and kind of minimize the body count, I think that would be really fun.
I have an idea that they showed off what they did because it's a 48-minute trailer and they're trying to show off the game. I feel like when I play Deus Ex, I can do that, or even in the sections where there has to be some combat, like I have an AUG that quite literally allows me to just go invisible. Combat starts or I have to get it out of an area, I just click it on and off we go. And I'm hoping that Cyberpunk has some of that same type stuff because that's what the cybernetics are about.
Yeah.
Like, give me several options, several different ways to get in and out of a situation because I love that they're trying to do a shooter, but again, I'm not going to play it that way.
Yeah.
Unless I'm forced to play it that way. And if I'm forced to play it that way, you're going to have to be careful the way that you do it. Like, the example that I thought of, and we talk about this game over and over and over again, but I thought about Riddick. Like, if they do it like Riddick, where you're stalking and kind of an Arkham Asylum type thing, where it's combat related and you've got guns, but you can do it in a way where you walk up on somebody and they're dead before you even know they're there. I can do that.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of their vision with the cybernetic stuff, in that that's what determines your quote unquote class. It seems pretty obvious that the way that they were approaching this character was that she's going to be kind of a guns blazing, you know, whatever that class is, the warrior class, to use the generic term here, you know, that it's just all about going in and combat. And so the cybernetics that they kind of showed off, or the abilities that are cybernetic, or the little inhaler thing, which is cool, that gives you like the mojo to activate these things, whatever. I don't know all the terminology yet. But the idea that the ones that they use for this were really combat oriented, where like they had the ricochet bullets, which is cool, so you can shoot enemies behind cover, or they got the smart gun that has like tracking bullets or whatever, but everything, or the bullet time thing where you can slow down time in combat. Those are all really combat heavy kind of cybernetic things. And so you would imagine there'll be the stealth one, because they did show off a stealthy thing with the little robot. There's this robot that you go and buy, and it has a cloaking thing to it. And so you can easily imagine that characters will also be able to do a cloaky, stealthy thing like that. And so you would imagine there's going to be a whole class of cybernetics that are that route, or the more techie route where you can, you know, like hijack their weapons. They showed a little bit of that where she was able to make it where a dude couldn't fire his weapon, and so that would obviously help with the combat that you could approach combat differently or whatever.
And
all that to say, I hope that there will be that kind of class based thing that you're gonna always have to shoot out of the room sometimes, but in maybe many, possibly most situations, there's going to be alternative ways to get there.
If it's a Dishonored type, that's what I'm looking for, is a Dishonored type deal. Like, I can go through a combat situation, but I got to do it stealthy, like, to even be even remotely good at it.
Yeah.
So
I would hope/imagine that that's in the works. That's part of the plan. I don't know. We'll see. But
right.
it seems unlikely that wouldn't be an approach that they take.
That's really the only bad thing I have to say. And
can I mention, I love the kind of the cybernetic stuff and the ability stuff that they showed off in it. Like the ricochet bullets things look so freaking cool to me, because it's a very cover-based shooter mechanic. It feels Mass Effect-y to me in that way, like just
it does
fast in first person, like better Mass Effect-y combat, but it's very cover-based, and so, like, the fact that you can ricochet bullets makes cover-based more interesting. And again, you got to assume there that also the enemies are going to have ricochet bullets at some point in the game, too. And so then cover suddenly isn't just like, oh, I duck behind something and I'm safe. Now you've got to, like, get in the right corner where they can't ricochet bullets at you as much as they can't shoot you directly, which also makes it very interesting, makes it kind of cool and the gameplay more challenging. So, yeah, it's nuts. The whole thing is nuts. A couple more things. Again, there's so much more. We got to talk about this thing. There's just so much to it. The look of the game is so freaking cool. Like,
man.
Outside of the graphic stuff where we talked about the graphics are still a little bit, but I'll say that it looks every bit like a game that could be released now. Like, it's rough around the edges, but like, it's not bad looking. I noticed specifically the lighting in it feels so good. I don't know what it was about this opposed to other games that I've seen, but it just, the lighting looked great. So it's rough around the edges, but it still looks really, really good. But it's more about the environment. This world, Night City, just feels awesome to be in.
We have to mention, if you haven't figured it out yet, this is a hardware upgrade title.
Yeah.
This is, we're going to, whatever the newest graphics card is when this thing comes out, we're going to buy two. And sure. I can tell you that right now. I don't think there is anything that would make either one of us upgrade our hardware until this game comes out. It's going to make us upgrade our hardware.
Yeah. This is where that ray tracing comes in that we're talking about with the new NVIDIA cards. Yeah. I saw on Twitter, I think it was Major Nelson, said, I'm really excited about playing this on the Xbox One. I said, ha, that's funny. You know, like, you're not playing this on the Xbox One. This is a next-gen title. It has to be. I just can't imagine this being a current-gen title. It's just, yeah. I just have it playing right now, so I can have things make me think of stuff while we're talking about it. And there's this point where you get in the car, she gets in the car, the player character gets in the car with this dude named Dexter, which I love. And he's smoking a cigar. And just like the smoke effect, like, I was just watching it now, went, whoa, like, that's so good. Like, it's just really, really pretty.
The whole thing with Dexter, I dug that whole thing.
I do too. I hope he's a big deal.
Because it's very, you know, the thing about the environment, and I'm about to make up a word here. I'm Jamie Jordan, I make up words, here we go. It is very underworldly, the whole thing. Night City in general is very, like, underworldly and seedy. Remember in Mass Effect 3 where you had the levels of the Citadel, and you had all the pretty stuff at the top, and
yep,
then you went to the bottom, and you had the underworld bars, and all the seedy stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, this is all seedy stuff.
It's all seedy stuff.
And I dig it. Like,
I do too.
It's cool.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of when I was in China, the density of the world. It just isn't something I've ever experienced anywhere in the States. It's the polar opposite of where I live now, where Dallas is a big city and there's a lot of people here, but it's all about space and being spread out and all this stuff. We live in a nice big house. We have a good size house and we're very happy with our nice size house. Like, the idea of these tiny kind of all clustered together, super dense apartment buildings, and there's just people upon people upon people, and there's so many people that are walking around in the game and all this stuff. It's just, it's a very foreign kind of world to me, and it intrigues me in that way because it's not something I'm used to in my normal life. It feels even more exotic in that way.
You got a big house with stairs. We got to do something about your big house with stairs.
We don't have anything interesting upstairs at this point.
But other than that, you're right. Your house is huge. My house is huge.
We like our space.
Yeah,
we grew up in the wide open plains. Like, a dense city is the polar opposite of the world we grew up in. We grew up in flat, open country. This is not that.
And it would make, honestly, it would make my mother and your mother-in-law just like they'd go hide somewhere because they don't ever want to experience that as long as they live.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I have the feeling that, you know, we talked about the nakedness and all of that, but I have the feeling that this game is going to have a tone of uncomfortable.
Yes.
Like whether it's the nakedness or whether it's the people being packed in or whatever, whether it's the violence
or
whatever
the,
it is.
The cybernetics, the fact that, like, people don't have faces. Or, like, at near the end of it, she does the thing where, like, the blades come out of her arm. It's called, the Mantis Cybernetic or whatever. That is the, statuette that, or the first screenshot they had about her or whatever, with the very scantily clad woman that has, like, blades coming out of her arms. They show that off in the gameplay trailer, and it's, like, you know, it's super cool because she has, like, blades that come out of her arm and, like, stabs a dude with them. But it's also really unsettling. I think you're spot on with that. I think a lot of this game is going to hinge on making you uncomfortable, of kind of making your skin crawl. And that also is going to be a kind of a sensitive balance. You can't go overboard with that either, just like you can't go overboard with the mature content stuff.
And I know that there's going to be a point in the game where, did you ever see, a couple of years ago, there was a movie called Elysium?
I remember it. I didn't see it.
Did you? Okay, so the thing with Elysium was that there's all of these poor people, and there's all this third world stuff going on, but if you're well off enough to get to Elysium, all of the people there are very well taken care of. There's medical care. There's all of this stuff. I feel like there's going to be a section of Cyberpunk 2077 where you play 30 hours in Night City, and then you go into a section of it where it's the absolute opposite. And there's all of this stuff, and there's chandeliers, and everybody's got money, and there's stuff going on, and that's going to make you uncomfortable in a completely different way, because you're going to be walking around going, oh, this is great. When's it going to go to crap?
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I really feel like you're going to play 20, 30, 40 hours in Night City. And then there's going to be this section where you see how the other half lives. And it gives you options to do some different things. And that will make you uncomfortable because you're going to walk around wondering, okay, what's about to happen? Because it's about to go real bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're probably spot on with that. One other, I was saying I don't have any complaints. One complaint I think I might have, I want an answer to this question. So it showed off some of the driving mechanics in the game.
Oh, man, I hate the what? It's not good.
This is my, yeah, it didn't look good. And again, early build, they mentioned that over and over. But they're really big on talking up the first-person aspect of this game, and I get why they're really big on talking up the first-person aspect of the game. They talked about how it makes it more immersive on and on. I hate first-person driving. I just can't do it. I don't play any racing games in first-person view. Like, I've tried, you know, on, like, the serious racing simulators to do those in first-person view. And I don't do good at those games, period. But even trying first-person view on those, I just can't get into it. I don't know what it is about. Like, it just doesn't translate through a TV screen to me. I'd much rather the kind of over-behind-the-car view. I will say, playing, like, Project Cars in VR, that's cool in first-person because you truly feel immersed in that. Like, otherwise, to me, it feels super claustrophobic. Like, I can't see crap.
I only showed
it in first person, and no.
I played Grand Theft Auto that way, in first person, and I don't know why. I guess because all I really have to worry about is what's in front of me.
Sure.
Like, especially if I'm in a driving mission, and, you know, I have to get from A to B, I don't care what's going on around me. I'm trying not to put a dent in this car that I just stole that I've got to get to the paint spray.
You're the one person that plays Grand Theft Auto like you're driving a car you really want to keep. Like,
don't
hit the light pole. Don't hit the light pole.
I'm just saying that you know, there are several missions like that.
Sure,
and
sure.
I'm not good at those missions. I'm not good at the racing missions. I'm not good at those. And the only way that I have any control over what is happening, I've noticed, is to put the thing in first person and just worry about what's in front of me. Now, in about a month, I'm going to have the Microsoft accessibility controller, thanks to Chad. I can't believe I had to say that. Holy crap. I had to thank Chad.
The disgust in your voice at that, man.
It's just, I can't, like, we've done this show for 13 years, and just the fact that I have to thank Chad makes me kind of want to throw up a little bit. Like, but I have the accessibility controller coming.
Which is awesome.
And, yeah, it's awesome. And that has the ability for me to change whether or not the driving works. Because I don't care how good it is. Part of the reason that I play Grand Theft Auto the way I do is because driving sucks on a mouse and keyboard.
Yes.
It sucks less on a controller.
Yes.
And so that controller will determine how I handle the driving sections. And that's interesting to me because I have no desire to play the rest of the game with a controller. Like, the rest of it, I need to play with a mouse and keyboard. But those sections absolutely will require a controller.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that, generally speaking. I don't like driving mechanics on a mouse and keyboard at all. And so, yeah. I'm torn on this. I don't know where I'm going to play this at, be it PC or whatever console.
I'll tell you where you're going to play it. I know exactly where you're going to play. You're going to play it on the biggest rig you got, which is the one you built.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I just don't know. It depends on when it comes out. It depends on what my rig looks like at that point. It depends on if I have the PlayStation, whatever, 5 thing, or Xbox 2, whatever it is. Yeah, I don't know. But this is what I think, it'll play great either way. That's a positive thing. It's not a game to me that I have to play on console or have to play on PC. I'm going to just be happy to play this game on whatever platform I can play it on. And that to me is exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And how it is played is going to be determined greatly by the type of game that it is. I mean, they talk about it over and over being an RPG. Okay, how much of an RPG? Because if it is really an RPG, if we're talking a serious RPG with a class system and upgrades and all that jazz, that's a mouse and keyboard. But if it's a quote-unquote RPG like Mass Effect 3 was an RPG, that's a controller.
Yeah, that's exactly. To me, at this point, it feels a lot more like a Mass Effect RPG.
Which, and that makes me sad, because when somebody says RPG at this point, I go, yeah, right, RPG, yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Because we remember what an RPG is. And, right. And so...
My kind of expectations for an RPG have just changed at this point. Like, the definition of what an RPG is different than it was when we were younger, and so I've just kind of come to live with that. I say that. I think it will be deeper in the RPG elements than Mass Effect is, but I think it's going to feel... I don't think it's going to be... The Witcher level RPG-ness. And to be honest, in some ways, I just like the fantasy world just lends itself to that better. And I don't know that between the kind of futuristic cyberpunk world and the first person shooter kind of gameplay focus, like, I don't know that they could put enough RPG elements in there to make me feel like it's an RPG. Like, just part of it's just the gameplay doesn't feel like an RPG, what I think of in my head as being an RPG. And so I think some of my bias is just on that fact. And I'm okay with that. I can deal with that. The game looks great. I don't care. You know, like, give me, you know, between the cybernetic stuff that's going to allow you to kind of customize and upgrade, that's very RPG-ish. I don't need to get more hit points every so often when I get enough experience points. They talked in there about street cred. That's kind of your experience. Like, you kind of level up your street cred as you do missions and that kind of stuff. And I'm interested to see how they use that. Like, what does that mean? Does it unlock different missions? Does it unlock parts of the world? Like, you couldn't get into this building before because you didn't have enough street cred, but now you can. Those kind of leveling things make sense and are kind of RPG-ish, but not RPGs in the way that we think of.
Well, and it's up in the air for me, because this thing is based on a tabletop RPG. Sure. Right? Like, it's based on a tabletop RPG. So I hope there is... I really do hope there's a lot of that in there.
Yeah, and creation, there's like a stat distribution. Like, you had strength and intelligence or whatever. I didn't look at what all the stats were. But essentially, those is what we think of, especially for a tabletop RPG, of when you create your character, these are the things you can put your role into. You don't have to roll. It doesn't seem randomized. But it does have that element to it. And so maybe it's more than I'm giving it credit for.
I hope that we are pleasantly surprised. Like, holy crap, we've never seen anything like this.
Yeah.
Because it is an RPG like The Witcher 3, but it also has this other stuff that it does really, really well.
Yeah.
And Riddick did the other stuff really, really well, but there was no RPG to it. Like Riddick did... I can't believe I keep coming back to Riddick, but it's the best example that I can think of. Riddick did the first-person shooter thing and the sneaking really well.
Yeah, it was a fun first-person experience that wasn't just run and gun the whole time, which I think is fair. When I was watching the trailer, I got hints of Mass Effect for sure. Like, it definitely has that feel to me. But I also got a lot of hints of Fallout and some of the ways that the world kind of moves and just the interactions of people. And I got, you know, that hint of The Witcher. Like, I got that hint of CD Projekt Red still coming through, more than just, like, Naked Chick in the Bathtub. But in other ways that the game presents itself, like, I could feel those little subtleties. Again, like I said at the beginning, if you just showed me the trailer and didn't tell me it was CD Projekt Red, I would never guess it was, because it's so different in gameplay and look and everything than The Witcher. But it has that, at least that little bit of a signature there that you're like, oh yeah, I know these guys and I trust these guys, and I can kind of, you know, see that handiwork coming through. So I'm just pumped about it. I think it looks fantastic. And so
it's going to be a lot of fun. And
it's so far away.
I hate that we're going to have to wait 3 years, because part of the things that we hadn't really talked about, it's not like we're going to be surprised by this thing. The frame rate was awful. Just walking around the world And so the way that they did that, like, it just felt like the character was in molasses. Yeah. Like, he didn't care because it looked so good. But it just felt like the character was in molasses. This thing is a long way off.
Yeah. And let me give them credit for being ballsy enough to put it out where it is right now. Now, again, it looks really good. We keep getting caught up on some of the technical things, which are plenty. But at the same time, there's a lot of stuff that shows the promise of it. And so they kind of hit the sweet spot for me of, like, releasing a really early gameplay demo of something. Of, like, it kind of like what we saw at E3 with Beyond Good and Evil, that it was very obviously an early build, but it was enough there to go, I see where you're going with this, and it looks pretty cool. You know, like, it's good enough looking that I'm bought in. Like, it didn't turn me off the technical issues with it. I can see them, I'm aware of them, but you did enough work, and you've got a good enough concept that you can show it off well, and they showed it off well.
Okay, so as we wrap this up, I have a question for you.
Yep.
Do you believe, end of the day, with Cyberpunk 2077, what? Because we talk about the fact you brought it up a couple of shows ago that you're not at a point in your life where you can devote 50 hours to something. Do you believe that this is going to be one title that's a 50-60 hour title, or do you think we're gonna start off with 20 to 30 hours and then a bunch of DLC? Because they said something that I thought was interesting, in that when they're done, they don't want there to be any loading screens.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, with the tech that we have now, like, we got some good tech now, but how are you going to do that? How are you going to put a game that size and that scale on a hard drive and not have to load it? I got to wonder how they're going to do, like, how big are we talking about here? Do you understand where I'm going? Like,
sure.
I feel like we're going to get 50 hours out of this because that's what CD Projekt does. It's going to be big. It's going to be epic. But I also feel like they're going to have to do some things to kind of piecemeal it to make it work.
Yeah. Again, it's a couple of years away, and so tech will hopefully catch up with their ambitions. And to be fair, there's plenty of games out there that have pretty minimal loads at this point. The biggest thing to me is, like, going in and out of buildings, you know, but a big open world game you can do at this point with very little in the way of load time. It's going to be huge. It's going to be like 300 gigs or something, you know, like in a couple years, that's probably where a lot of games are going to be. And so that part of it, it's going to take up a big chunk of space. It's going to demand a lot of processing, but I think they could pull it off, and if it ends up being a 20 to 30 hour experience, I'll be perfectly fine with that. If it ends up being 50 hours, I'll be fine with that too. It may take me a year to get through, but I'll be fine. I don't have nearly as much time to play video games as I used to, and it especially right now, and with little girl getting a little bit bigger, that will hopefully open up some time back, which just the past 6 months has been really, really challenging. But after a couple years old, which you will be when this game comes out, I think I'll have more time. But I just think back to last year that I played the crap out of Zelda. I put so many hours into Zelda. I've seen just about everything in that game. Not quite. There's still, I pick it up and am surprised by, like, oh, I've never been here before. But that's a game I pretty thoroughly got through, you know. Now, it took me a good chunk of the year to get there, and this will probably take me a good chunk of a year to get through as well. But I'm going to see as much of this game as possible. I love the feel of it. The vibe, the look, the world just fascinates me. And I've always liked this. When we played, me and my buddies growing up, we played tabletop RPGs a lot. And we played lots of Dungeons & Dragons because, of course, you play lots of Dungeons & Dragons. But we always tried to find other stuff to play, too. And so we kind of all had our games that we liked. We never picked up Cyberpunk, and now I wish we had. I'm kind of wanting to at some point pick it up as a tabletop game and play it that way. But I did play this game.
That is Rift. Patreon content right there.
That would be fantastic. That would be cool. But I played this game called Rift, and we all, like all my buddies and I, we had kind of the game that we were most kind of geared towards, and so it would be the one that we would be the game master or dungeon master of or whatever. And the one I really liked at one point was this game called Rift that has some of these elements. So it wasn't cyberpunk, it wasn't exactly like this, but it was kind of futuristic and sci-fi-y and that kind of stuff. And this kind of tickles that itch, you know? Like, it kind of makes me feel that nostalgia towards those tabletop games, and seeing that this is based off of a tabletop game, it makes me really, really excited about it. And it, in a way, more so than I think I would be even otherwise, more so than I ever was about The Witcher. I picked up The Witcher 1, had problems with it. The Witcher 2 had problems with it. Everybody's like, The Witcher 3 is fantastic. And it took me a little bit to get to it because I just didn't quite get it until I played The Witcher, and then I got it, and it's a fantastic game. This game, like, I'm hyped about at this point. It could disappoint me. I don't think it will, but I am way hyped for it in a way that I haven't been about lots of other games that ended up being really, really good.
And I'm glad that you brought that up, because I have a lot of stuff to play. I have a few different games that I'm working on right now, and I'm just putting time in as I can, and you guys haven't gotten Patreon content in a while because time is very limited, and I'm just looking for a day where I can sit down and edit video and do what I need to do. But when this game comes out, I know that everything else is going to go out the window.
Yep.
Like, there's not going to be playing Cyberpunk and this and that. I'm going to stop everything else that I'm playing, and that's going to get every spare second that I've got. And I don't know that we have played a game like that in a while. I think God of War is that game, and it's killing both of us.
Yeah.
Because we just want to put more time in it, but it ain't there.
Yeah.
But that's part of my problem is that right now I don't really want to play anything else because God of War's sitting out there.
You're telling me.
I think Cyberpunk is going to be a lot the same way. When it comes out, I think everything else is going to go out the window.
I think you're right. Really quickly, so show notes, gamingcensored.com, they're there, I promise. We didn't get to any of them. I want to mention two things really fast. We've been doing releases, so I'll mention releases. There's not a lot this week, but I do want to mention Donut County, which is finally coming out. It's been floating for a while. It's this kind of Katamari Damacy game where you play as a hole and like are swallowing up stuff in the world. I don't know. It looks fun to me, so maybe nobody else gets into those type of games, but they're my thing, so. One other thing that I want to mention just in the news and get your super, super quick take on. Microsoft has announced the Microsoft Xbox All Access, which is a kind of a they're calling it a subscription offering. It's more of a lease-to-own kind of – not even lease-to-own, but it's a two-year payment plan for an Xbox One S or an Xbox One X console. 2 years of Xbox Live and 2 years of Game Pass. For an Xbox One S, it's $22 a month for 2 years, or for an Xbox One X, it's $35 a month for 2 years. And then you have a console and can continue paying for the other services if you want to. Which, as we talk about games as services, this is an interesting kind of hybrid of the commodity-based gaming world and the service-based gaming world, where you're paying a subscription essentially for 2 years for the hardware. But it does come out to save you a good amount of money, especially if you do the Xbox One S. You end up saving like $130 over the 2 years of the cost of the console and the subscription services, assuming that the price of the console remained constant and you weren't going to buy it later and all that kind of stuff. Whatever. It's an interesting idea that now Microsoft is doing, and I imagine we'll see more of.
All right. So We don't have time to have this discussion, but we're going to have it. Because I have to ask you, because I'm going through this right now with my phone. And you're going to laugh because my phone that I use every day is 5 years old. I'm using a Galaxy S4. And the reason that I'm still using an S4 is because it's paid for.
Sure.
And my brother paid for it. It works. Still good. Jane complains about the fact that it's going to fall apart, but it only seems to do that when she picks it up. So I don't know what her problem is. But I'm still using that because it's paid for. If I go and get a new phone, the way they're doing that now, you're paying monthly just like that Xbox deal is.
Yep.
And I said something to my family the other day, you know, getting close to time to needing a new phone. And their response was, see if your brother can find you one for cheap because we really don't want to make adjustments to the plan. That's my family to a T. but because of going through this, and you'll find this funny, my brother played for the first time Saturday night in 2.5 years. And some of the employees that had never seen them do what they do, had never seen them pack at a bar, were just mind blown. And one of the guys that is working over at the store with me, that's kind of the manager type, we're sitting there and they're playing music and we're drinking. And I said something to him about the fact that I needed a new phone. And I only made $10 an hour. And dude was like, company is going to buy you a new phone. And I'm like, how about the way you send that email to the boss? Because coming from you, he won't laugh. And so my thought on this is, I'm still not to the point where I'm cool with paying for hardware monthly, like phones. We don't have a choice. We gotta have a phone. But like where your relatives are and where I am, my phone doesn't work in my house. Like I have a Vonage line in my house because 95% of the time my cell phone does not work. Okay. So I'm in the zone where I don't really like the idea of leasing gaming hardware. How do you feel about this?
I don't love the idea. I like the price point. I think if you're going to do it, save me a little bit of money. I'm paying for my phone that way right now, just like you said. I have my phone on a payment plan. And I'm all the different payment plans that are out there where you can just do kind of perpetual, you pay and we'll keep your phone upgraded. I don't like that. It feels weird to me. But I don't mind kind of just paying off my phone over time. It's not saving me any money to do that. It just goes on my bill, and so it makes it convenient. This at least is saving me a little bit of money. It's not my favorite, but I don't hate it either. I think it's kind of where I land on it. I don't know that this convinces me to get an Xbox. I could see how it might convince some people to get an Xbox. I still just need more games. But in the next gen, I bet this is how I buy a console. You know, I bet it's everything is set up this way. And the idea of paying for something up front is going away.
It's like the ultimate, like, if you're poor, you can still buy a console for only $22 a month.
It does feel a little bit sketchy in that way. But man, I'm into saving a little bit of money, so whatever. So all that being said, we do need a wrap and go by GamingUncensored.com and see the show notes because we didn't get through it all. Go by the Facebook, go by the Twitter, at PodcastGU. Hit us up on the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
Let us know what you thought about the Cyberpunk 2077 trailer that's ripe with stuff to talk about. There's stuff we missed, so if there was something that we missed that you want to talk about, hit up the voicemail line and let us know.
segments. There ought to be like 15 segments in every mailbox we've got next week talking about Cyberpunk. For now, I think that's about it. Is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
I'm Jamie, that's Tommy. We are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingUncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.